Welcome to the Hypnotic Healers Podcast, your home for insights and insider knowledge about hypnotic change work. With your hosts, control practitioners and hypnotists, Nicole Mazzucato and Anthony Gitch.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of Hypnotic Healers. I'm Nicole Mazzucato and as always, I'm here with my friend and co-host Anthony Gitch all the way over there. Our usual disclaimer before we get started, neither Anthony nor I, nor our guest today, I believe, are licensed medical professionals, psychologists, psychiatrists or anything of the sort. So please do not make any changes or alterations to any medications or treatments you're on based on the conversation you hear here today. Take what you like, leave the rest. And while you're leaving stuff, you can leave us a like, a love, a heart, a thumbs up. Drop us a message, say hey, get in touch. Let us know how you're getting on with the podcast. I'm really, really excited for today's guest. She's a really great lady. We've had a chat before. Anthony, hello.
Hello, Nicole. It's great to see you. And I'm excited today. We've got a guest that I just met a little while ago. Her name is Adrienne Hart. She is from South Jersey, the Shore area. You've probably all seen her on her show, right? No, I'm teasing. welcome to our show. This is a very busy woman in the industry. She's got a ton of things going on, and I'm excited to learn about them.
Thank welcome. You. It's an honor to be here. I've been a longtime listener, and I really enjoy the playful banter between you, Anthony, and Nicole. So it's an honor to be here. Thank you.
Well, it's a real pleasure.
Yeah,
it's a real pleasure. Adrienne, congratulations, because you also have a podcast called Get Well With Me on mindset and hypnosis for health and happiness. And you have well surpassed 100 episodes. So congratulations, because I know that's something that you do on your own. And the amount of work that goes into that behind the scenes is phenomenal. So yeah, congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And likewise, I always say cheers to not quitting, because there were a long time that I just kind of noticed I didn't have any listeners, but staying the course pays off. So thank you so much.
That is, I'll tell you why I find it so commendable. I don't know if I could do this by myself. Mm. Right? I mean, I play better with other people, right? I like that, right? And so being able to have that kind of content that you're able to come up with on a regular basis that is helping people, that is enjoyable to listen to, right? I mean, kudos to you. That does take a lot of work.
It is a lot of work, but it's a lot of fun. And I really do imagine, especially since my podcast is mostly a solo cast, I very rarely do have a special guest. So a lot of times I'm looking into the camera and I'm just imagining my listeners, my ideal avatars on the other side of that lens. And I'm sharing from my heart. I'm giving a pep talk. However, a lot of my content is free hypnosis sessions. So that brings listeners back over and over. I know that thousands of people listen to my voice every week as they drift off to sleep. And then they wake up with more energy, more clarity, lighter in their body and mind. So it's a pleasure to make and publish the content. Thank you.
You know, now that you've said that, Nicole and I, a few weeks ago, we were talking about somebody who's going to be at HypnoThoughts this year. And he was saying, I was feeling like, gosh, Nicole and I have been at this for a while. And, you know, this guy is talking about, you know, in my first year, I had 256,000 listeners. And I'm like, wow. And he's like, now it's only been a couple months and I'm already at 1.5 million. And I'm like, what the heck is this guy doing? Who's he talking to?
Yeah.
Right. And so I go and I check out his podcast. They're doing what you're doing. What I have been considering starting to do, which is creating a podcast that has specific, it's hypnosis recordings.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And what an ingenious idea. At first I was like, Nicole, I kind of went to Nicole and I'm like, is that really a podcast though? And it's like, yeah.
A podcast can be whatever you want it to be,
yeah,
right?
If people are going and people are listening and they're getting a benefit, boy, I'm down for that.
Yes.
And so good for you for being ahead of the curve, right?
I mean,
I'm just now getting around that corner. So My hat is off, dear.
Thank you. There's plenty of space, you know, and I work from a mindset of abundance. So it would be amazing to see, because what I do all the time is I go into my podcast player and I type in hypnosis and I look for new things that pop up. That's how I found you guys. And I am always surprised that there are not more people making content. And the other thing I look for is how old or how long it's been since an episode has been published, because there are lots of abandoned podcasts out there. And I almost wish they would get deleted or something, because it is, it's like looking at, and it's looking at somebody that had a dream and gave up. Every time I see a podcast that has like six episodes or something, especially if I like the content, I'm so disappointed that that person gave up on their dream. But as a hypnotherapist, right, that's part of my job, is to see, kind of look ahead into the future for someone and see the best in them. Sure. So when I'm already kind of latched onto their content and then I see them take a little while till they make another episode and then eventually fizzle out, I always, you know, I feel sad for them. Like I want to help them do a session and get back on there. So.
Well, you know, it's tough because like I started a YouTube channel. Right. And I do this little thing called Insights with Anthony, and I try to get something out there every week. But it doesn't happen every single week, because when you're doing a video on top of everything, it's that adds a different dynamic to it, right?
Does.
But you're right. I am one of those people that I absolutely, it's like, okay, I got to get this done. I don't even care if it's, you know, if I've got something prepared or not. It's about sitting down in front of the camera and talking from my heart, right?
That's because right.
That's what insights, that's where insights come from, right?
Yes.
Our wisdom and how we're discussing things. And it's, so it's important to continue with that content. But I want you to, I want to see how you think about this, right? So when you're listening to those podcasts, because you sound like you listen to a lot of them.
I do.
I touch on a lot of them. How often are you able to distinguish between the ones that are having a conversation, like you said, to their avatar?
Sure.
And the ones that are reading specifically, they've created their conversation and now they are reading it as if reading a book.
Yes.
Right? How many are of the reading of the book type ones make it?
Yeah.
Very few.
I have to say that the people that put in the effort to script everything out, I want to give them credit for that, because it is a way to start, right?
Yes.
And it is a crutch that might allow them to hit record and hit publish when otherwise they wouldn't have to. So I kind of just give them a lot of grace there. Maybe I don't listen to the whole episode and I just kind of keep a pulse on them to see how they're going to go. But even like when Nicole delivers her intro to this podcast and she does it so beautifully.
Yes, she does, which is why she does it.
I suspect she started by reading it and now she could probably.
That was just invented one day off the cuff.
See? Well, even better. So then she's straight from the heart. But it's so beautifully put together that it seems like maybe it was scripted or it could be scripted. And you know, I wouldn't fault her if she did. When someone feels free to speak from their heart, I think that's really how you attract your real audience.
Yeah. Well, because you're being authentic.
Yes.
Yeah. When you're scripting it, I think, so I know when I first started creating videos, for example, I mean, I found it so hard to just sit and look at a camera and be like, I am talking to who knows who.
Yeah.
if anyone, if not just myself, I found it really, really difficult. And I did script those videos because also there was so much that I wanted to say.
Yes.
And, you know, I wanted to be able to kind of get all of the stuff in that I wanted to say. So I wrote it as I would say it and then ended and then kind of read from that. But sure, they didn't have kind of the flow that the conversation, natural conversations have. So I understand that crutch to, you know, you want to get everything in. Maybe you're nervous. It's absolutely a starting point. And you know, now, okay, I can deliver webinars and things like that just with notes rather than writing down every single point and rely a lot more on my own memory, my own knowledge. And like you say, just like, I know what I want to say.
Yes.
So I don't need to have it all written down word for word.
Sure. I'll tell you what, my insights with Anthony, I think I may have misguided you in what I was saying, maybe, because I like all my insights with Anthony, all of them are scripted, right? I think it's the ability to, like an actor, deliver the script in such a way that doesn't sound as if.
Sure. Right?
And so I give them, like you said, I'll give them leeway. I'll give them 6 months of leeway.
Right.
But after that much time, you should feel comfortable in your skin.
Absolutely.
Right. And be able to deliver that sort of thing. And you said something a little earlier that I thought was interesting about quitting.
And cheers leaving, to not quitting.
Abandoning. Yeah. And that's interesting because I think that now my mind just went blank again. I forgot what I was going to say. I forgot what my point was. If it comes back, I'll bring it back up. But cheers to us not quitting. And
yes,
absolutely. So Adrian, tell us about your journey. How did you get here?
Sure. So I, as many hypnotherapists, I stumbled across hypnosis unsuspectingly. Over 20 years ago, my little sister had needed some dental work and she was terrified. She had this kind of episode in the dentist office that maybe some of us can relate to. I'm just really scared and not trusting the dentist. And he kind of tried to pull the wool over her eyes and said, "Hey, you know, look at the birdie." And he came at her with the needle. She's a sharp cookie. So she didn't fall for that. She kicked the dentist while he had the Novocaine needle in his hand and it almost caused him to stab himself. So, banned her from that dentist office. They left like kind of kicked out, so to speak. So my mother's traumatized, my sister's traumatized, the dentist is traumatized, the whole situation. And so years go by and what do? You just don't go back to the dentist. Well, she got to be a teenager. It was time to get the braces on. And I had this kind of deadline in my mind for her that I wanted to make sure that they were off, of course, by her senior year, by senior picture. And I was like, this is crunch time. You've got to get this done. And I tried every power of influence as the big sister, you know, putting a mirror in her face, even threatening her, "You're not going to get a boyfriend if you don't get this handled," all the kinds of things that I could think of.
I'm going to shame you into this.
I surely tried. You know what? I surely tried.
Can I just stop you there for a second? Yeah. I have to just really appreciate your big sisterly love there, because I mean, that is just such a beautiful, beautiful demonstration of, I want to take care of you and make sure that you're going to have the best. And that for me is actually quite unusual.
Thank you for seeing that through my shaming techniques, but it's so true. I love my siblings so much. I'm the oldest. And so as the oldest, you naturally carry a little more responsibility. You naturally carry a little bit more burden and you naturally might feel responsible for your younger siblings. So
God, why didn't I have a sister like you?
I know, right?
Holy cow.
You would have been like, "Stop breathing down my neck." You know, I was that one. I wanted to make sure, just like with the younger people in our life now that were adults, because back then I was really just like 18 or something like that. We want to protect them from the trauma that we experienced, right? And so that's what I wanted to do with my sister. I wanted to make sure that she had a positive high school experience, that, you know, that she was set up for success. And I knew that she had that courage inside of her and that she could be bigger than her fear. So I was just kind of complaining to a friend and she says, "Oh, my mom helps people with that all the time." And I'm thinking, what is she, a wizard? Like who can fix this? Right. And she's like, "She's a hypnotherapist." And I was like, she had my full attention. I was like, "Well, so what would that look like? Is she going to come out quacking like a duck, barking like a dog and not be afraid of the dentist?" I don't understand. I didn't know anything more than I had seen on TV. But long story short, we went to this hypnotherapist and she was gracious and wonderful. And I was allowed to stay in the session with my sister to help her feel more comfortable. And my sister proceeded to sit arms crossed, eyes open, completely resistant, as is part of her personality type. And she did not go under, so to speak. We left there thinking it didn't work. But interestingly enough, on the way home, she says, I think I'm ready to make that dentist appointment. So I'm thinking, all right, well, maybe something happened. So we make the dentist appointment. I went with her. I brought the hypnosis recording. I had the headphones on her. I'm holding her hand thinking she's going to run out of there. Not only does she take the headphones off, not only does she not run out of there, she tells the dentist that she doesn't think she needs the Novocaine. And can she just ask the dentist if it starts to hurt? She handled it. She went through the whole thing. She got it done. She just went to the dentist the other day. I can tell you 20 years later, she's permanently cured. And it was from one session. So as a young person, it just opened up my mind. I'm like, hypnosis isn't what I thought it was. Number one, it's nothing that, a person doesn't have to go under for it to work was the next big thing. And then the third thing was my own personal experience. This wonderful hypnotherapist, she gave me from a selection of cassette tapes, because we're going back a few years here. She said, pick out two for yourself. So I think I picked out the Higher Self recording. I don't know if you're familiar with that, but it was like, meet your higher self. And the other one was back pain. So I took this back pain recording and just kind of saved it. And one day when I was in excruciating pain, laying flat on my back, I couldn't even move. I pop in this cassette tape, had to flip it over halfway through, right? Like, how great is technology nowadays? You just hit play. And that's it. I was cured one session. And not forever, like I never had back pain again, but I went from disabled that day, which I happened to be in Jamaica on my honeymoon. So it really gave me that whole experience back. I could have been laying there suffering in my own, what turned out to actually be emotional pain. And to have that sense of awareness, to be free of that, I was so convicted that when I got home from my honeymoon, that I needed to learn more and perhaps share this with the world. So the rest is, excuse me, history after that.
Right, what a beautiful, well, what a beautiful journey, right? This, you know, to really come to this through your intense desire to support someone you love.
Thank you. Thank you for framing it that way. And that is so true and beautiful.
Yeah, it is. And I love the way I'm thinking as you're speaking about your relationship and with your siblings. I'm like, she makes that sound like a lot of people have that.
Right.
She makes that sound so normal. What world does she live in?
Well, it was a lot growing up. Perhaps maybe the reason I decided, my husband and I, to just have one kid. So,
That's one, hilarious.
We're the one and done. We're the one and done team. And
Right on. But how exciting that is! That is an amazing kind of journey, and it is interesting how there are so many different paths that lead people to this sort of a profession.
Yes.
And I think it all comes from one. All of the people that I've met who are genuine in this industry, they all have that piece of, I want to help others succeed.
Yes. Yes.
How can I give back? Yes. Right. And I think I think that's really admirable. Right. And that's why I like to see, I support people in this industry in their ventures and the things that they're doing, and how can I help you succeed? Because isn't that what we're here for our clients?
Yes.
Why shouldn't we do that for each other in the community?
Yes.
Right. And like you said, you know, operate from that place of abundance.
Yes.
And let's all lift each other up.
Right.
Right. And it is interesting that that we get to work with this sort of people. You know,
absolutely.
I think it's very admirable. I enjoy them. Are you going to be at HypnoThoughts this year?
I don't have any plans to be. I've never been. And believe me, I feel like I have a sneak peek from listening to all these podcasts. I think I'm really missing out.
I love HypnoThoughts.
I believe it's in July, right? Is it in July?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. I'm not counting it out.
It is. I'll tell you what, it is. It's amazing. If you get the opportunity to get there, you'll meet some really amazing people. Where you are, do you ever make it to the NGH conference?
No, I feel like I'm in a isolated little bubble here. So if there are more live events, I would love to get to them. I do a lot of networking.
Conferences.
NGH. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I'm interested. National Guild.
They're in Boston. Well, they're outside of Boston.
Okay.
But yeah. I mean, there's a lot. There's several of them in Florida. And that's just a quick little hour flight for you, I'm sure.
Yeah, that's actually a piece of cake out of Atlantic City. Yeah,
exactly. So a lot of opportunities back on the East Coast, because this can be kind of, Nicole and I have talked about this, I'm sure you've heard it on the podcast, it can be an isolating kind of profession to work in, because we don't have, you know, where there's a lot of these counselors and psychiatrists and psychologists who band together.
Yes.
And work in a collaborative office so they can have the nice office space right on the 15th floor.
Right.
They all work together. You don't, we don't see that as much in this. And so I think it's important that we do get together with our people.
It is.
And that way we can get that support that we need.
Sure. And see that we are all on the same team. I was surprised that in a niche that should be so open-minded that we run into a lot of hypnotherapists that just believe their way is just the only way. And right. I appreciate their confidence in their strategies and their
I call it techniques. Ignorance. You call it confidence. Okay.
But on the other hand, it really surprises me that that we can be hung up on a particular training or a particular philosophy. And hypnosis is so interesting. In my group sessions, which is, I do take one-to-one clients, but I love group hypnosis. And every Wednesday, I have something called Wellness Wednesday. And we touch on a variety of different wellness topics. It's mostly all content-free hypnosis. And I'll frame it as, you know, this is going to be a healthy weight hypnosis, or this is going to be a dissolving anxiety hypnosis. But truthfully and clearly, every single session is specifically designed to install all levels of wellness, of self-confidence, of self-esteem, of dissolving anxiety, of craving healthy foods, of craving hydration, of turning the volume down on unhelpful thoughts, turning the volume up on most positive outcomes, and really just tuning the reticular activating system to constantly be surprised. You know, kind of one of the things that I always say in every session is that you surprise yourself by making the healthy choice, almost like letting them notice when they do the right thing. So I love group hypnosis sessions so much. And it's fun to kind of rotate in between all different topics, like achieving flow state and decluttering the mind and the physical space, getting motivated, motivation to exercise, getting your mojo back, like all of these kind of fun topics. And it happens every Wednesday at 1 p.m. Eastern time. So I love the idea that we can all be receiving the same words and yet having our own unique experience, but yet having this shared experience. And that's what makes it, I feel like, so much fun, is to kind of be together that way.
Yeah.
Each person applies it to their particular story.
Yes.
Right? And I mean, that's a great journey to take somebody on.
It's fun. Yes.
You may have heard me talk before about this idea of collateral healing, right? When we're focusing maybe on one thing, one specific thing, and then a client walks away and they're like, oh, but then that's different and that's different and that's different. And we didn't even necessarily focus or talk about that. Just this idea that once your mind understands that it can make these changes, it starts just making other changes, other positive, healthy, helpful changes as well. And I love what you're doing there in the group session.
Yes.
Well, I think that collateral healing comes from the fact that the subconscious mind begins to understand that change is, in fact, easy.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And I love the podcast episode that you did about that and about change can be easy and that we've been programmed to think that it's not easy, right? And you guys gave so many examples of all the ways that we've been programmed to think that change has to be hard. So shifting someone from thinking that they're their own worst enemy to they're their own best friend, I think is a huge tweak. And that's something that I don't verbalize during Wellness Wednesday, but at the end of the session, that really is the goal, to inform the subconscious mind that it has, that its job is to protect, which it always agrees with, and then to give it instructions on just how to do that. So I love it.
Yeah. Because, you know, that is interesting that just how to do that, giving it specific ways, you know, because oftentimes, like Nicole and I, in the process that we use with control, it's like we say when we do the model of the mind, those strategies have been picked up and created by a child's mind that doesn't understand the world, their place in it. And so it's just about keeping me safe. Right?
Yes.
And so, yeah, I like that. It's like, this is the new understanding, right?
Yes.
And this is the new way to do it. And so I think that that's really cool because you need to empower people into believing that they are even worth the change that they're seeking.
Huge. Right there. Exactly. Yeah. That's right.
How does that seep into your parenting? How does hypnosis seep into your parenting?
That's such a great question. So very intentionally, I can tell you that having a son who is 19 years old, he's almost 20. I could probably spend all of our rest of our time together gushing over how wonderful
she doesn't look old enough. She doesn't look old enough to have a 19-year-old son,
right? I'm thinking to myself that you're like maybe 32, 33.
Thank you. I will take that. As a matter of fact, I'm going to put that in my heart right now. Yes, I am 32. No, I am almost 42. And and I had my son when I was 21. So
appropriate age. Okay.
Yeah.
Not and, like 12. Okay, good.
And my husband and I were already together 6 years before that, which we always joke about. I'm like, do you even remember life before having a kid, you know? Yeah. Like it's so, like our whole life has been together. We grew up together. And it's
That's
been
awesome.
A fun journey, you know, to be able to look back on your life and just to say, hey, do you remember that? And just to really actually have a person who did it with you, who went with you on the journey, who cried with you through the journey. So I would not trade in my husband for anything. At this point, I feel, like he's more valuable to me than ever before because of all of the experiences
because
that we've shared.
Hypnosis.
Because of hypnosis. He says to me almost every day, did you cast a spell on me? And I said, I have to recast it every day. So, I really believe that. And I don't believe in spells, but I do believe in the power of words. And it's true. It's in order to have a happy and successful relationship, you do have to kind of recast that magic on a daily basis.
Yeah, sure.
So, but you know, I was going to... back to the question about how does that filter into my parenting?
Yeah.
So very intentionally, I speak in a lot of questions. I ask him so many questions and I help to tune his reticular activating system to maybe the things that I want him to be looking for. And a great way to do that is with the power of questions. I also, I admit I still pack his lunch. He wakes up at 4 a.m. to go to work. So pack his lunchbox the night before and I'll leave him a little love note. And it will quite frequently be something hypnotic. Like, I wonder what miracle will happen today. I wonder how you might bless someone today. Expect great things. So that kind of language I'm helping him to start his day with. And also one of the main ways that it kind of factored into our parenting when he was younger, when he was a child, because he is a young man now, was driving him to school. I drove him to school every day and we lived quite a distance. So we'd be in the car for about 40 minutes or more together. And that was an invaluable time to spend with him. But also, I knew I was programming his mind. I knew that I was helping him to have, setting him up for a great day by the questions that I was asking him. You know, when he comes home from work or when he used to come home from school, I would always say, tell me something good, right? And to set his mind to always be thinking like, mom's going to ask me for something good. And so he's always has something good. So, and I'm thankful that he calls me when something exciting happens. Like I'm thankful to be his person that he wants to share that with. So.
So you're a great mom and a great sister and a great hypnotist and a great wife. Just like, there we go. All the boxes.
Thank you guys.
You know, what a great way, what a great environment for your kid to grow up in. Those are, you know, I call those empowering questions in my, in the workbook that I've developed along with my book. It's like, you know, what are those empowering questions, you know, and when you can grow up answering those questions, how can I be a great impact on the world today?
Yes.
Right. You know, when you ask yourself that question first thing in the morning, how can you not be a good impact on the world today? Because you're looking for a way to do that. Your reticular activating system, like you said, is out there looking for the opportunity about how can I be a great impact today?
Yes. I love that.
What a blessing. What a blessing to be raised in that way and to raise a, you know, a
strong,
resilient.
And to have a sister like you.
Oh, thank you.
Absolutely. And to raise a strong, resilient mind like that.
Yeah.
That, you know, that, and to be so conscious that you, it's such, so unusual, isn't it, to hear a parent, I'm so conscious of the fact that everything I say and everything I do is influencing and programming my children's mind. It's so uncommon to hear somebody, to hear a parent say that. So,
Well, and a part of doing that, in at least the way that it comes across, is that you're also in the same manner creating responsibility for where they're at in their experience.
Absolutely.
Right? It's not about pointing the finger and blaming and that sort of thing, because those things don't play well together. And
that's
so,
right.
You know, it good for you. Just
thank
good
you.
On you. Yeah.
Thank you so much. Yes. Radical responsibility.
There you go. Boy, and isn't that true? Radical is for a lot of, and maybe it's just because of my age now, as a middle-aged man, that I look back and you know, in fact, I said this earlier to myself when I was on the walk with my dog today, things seemed so much simpler back in the 70s, right? But here's the deal. Things weren't so much simpler back in the 70s. They only seemed that way because I was a kid.
That's right.
I didn't understand what was going on in the world necessarily. My parents, we lived on a farm essentially, and everything was always okay.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, that's, you know, right. So were things actually simpler for the mind of a child? Absolutely.
Sure. And I think the world felt smaller, at least for me, because I was born in the early 80s and I grew up in the 90s, which is why I think it's the reason I'm attracted to both of you. You're all about keeping it real, right? It was even in your email, Nicole, you're like, we keep it real. And I'm like, yeah, we keep it real. That is such a 90s thing. But since the onset of the internet, the world feels bigger and it feels more complicated.
It does. It feels harder to navigate, doesn't it? Because of a sudden, it's not like people didn't have an opinion before, but not everybody had a platform to express their opinion and their ideas. And all of a sudden there's so many platforms for anyone and everyone to express their ideas and share everything. Sometimes
whether
too
it's
much.
Appropriate, yeah, whether it's appropriate or not, whether it's real or not, right? You know, I mean, there's so much, I think it's awesome that there's so much information available for people. Mm-hmm. However, the availability of misinformation and disinformation is dangerous.
It is dangerous, and we have to use big discernment to filter through.
Yeah. I see some things sometimes. I'm like, oh my. Isn't that
or I just
my?
Say I say that's not real. A lot of times you can watch like a voiceover or like an AI thing, and I can recognize that it's not real, but I think to myself, I wonder if my grandmother can recognize if that's not real.
Right.
So
right.
Not everyone is going to have that same level of discernment based on what they know about technology, what they even know is possible. It is a concern, and the world is.
Because you are from this country, you will understand this reference. Look at even the Tucker Carlson's. Right. But now we're seeing those people. I'm wondering, I was wondering today, actually, I'm like, I wonder how many people that were listening to that rhetoric and to that line of thought that 100% believed him, that now all of a sudden are faced with this reality that, oh my goodness, they're telling me that none of this was true. And how do they... how do they settle that within themselves?
Sure.
Where, you know, it becomes an interesting sort of thing. It's like, do they hold even stronger now because I can't have been wrong anyway? Or do we open up and go, well, all right, maybe I can be exposed to this other information and maybe have a change of heart or,
sure.
or take it. It's interesting to me what the ripple effect will this will have, right?
Sure. It's big right now, and things are being shaken up. My perspective on it is that the sooner that people turn off their TV, the better they're going to be. So if they turn it off because of Don Lemon's gone or Tucker's gone or whatever, they're going to be
whoever,
better off.
Whoever it may be, because there's no, I certainly don't just point to one side and say, no, because they're all guilty of it.
So yeah, I'm kind of excited for this new era where people, I mean, it's sad that you can't, we used to, you know, stay up till 11 o'clock at night to watch the news so that we knew we could be informed. And
right.
We all watched the same news. So that used to help. Right. Now it's just turn it off and go to bed early. That's what I say.
Well, now it's not news. Now it's opinions.
Absolutely. Yeah.
There's a difference. Reporters used to report with an unbiased, unopinionated, this is the information that I have, right?
Maybe.
Or at least that's maybe, again, that was my perception because it was the 80s and I was of a younger mind, right? And maybe more willing. But I always questioned. Right. There's
but we always felt that way. We always felt that what we saw on TV was true. And at a certain point, I think most of us have now begun to question. We don't know what's true anymore. So that's painful, but also a healthy place to be, is to be questioning. So
it's
absolutely positive.
Well,
so Adrian,
like
well know, we like to ask all of our guests for a learning curve story, something that maybe within your business or with a client that you kind of look back on now and like, nope, I wouldn't do that again. And here's why. I'm guessing you've got one of those to share with us.
Sure. Well, the one that comes to mind immediately, I know has been shared on your show time and time again, which is to not work with smoking clients who are either not paying or not ready. So I think what I have definitely noticed is that if someone is trying to convince you that to take them on as a client because they're really ready this time and it seems like they're selling themselves to you, they may not be ready. They might be ready for maybe some conversational hypnosis or some really good questions that can allow them to get started. But when I think about from a business perspective of something that I would do different, I can say that there came a time that I realized that if I wanted to do hypnosis full time, then I needed to self-promote. And like most people, I found that to be really challenging. I do see myself as a confident person. I do see myself as someone that has a healthy self-image, but I don't know how even that translates to putting yourself on the internet and saying, I have something to offer you. I mm-hmm. have value to give you. I have value to sell you. Mm. That takes a lot of work mm. in the mindset, or at least it did for me. I think it would be awesome if I could have fast forwarded the time that it took me to get more comfortable with self-promotion. It's probably the number one thing that I would recommend to anyone who's just getting started or to someone who feels stuck is to do the work, perhaps with a hypnotherapist, maybe work on a little bit of imposter syndrome or go old school and stand in front of the mirror and, you know, convince yourself, whatever it takes. But it is so important to get yourself out there. And whether that means online, I mean, there's other ways to do it, right? Like building up my current practice, I cold called a whole ton of hypnotherapists and different people who are in the healing holistic field to kind of like build out my network, to lift them up, to collaborate, to leverage each other's audiences. And that was old school cold call. It was even sending a cold video. So to connect and to self-promote and shamelessly. And if you feel shame about it, do the work because we don't have enough time to keep holding ourselves back.
Good for you. I like that.
Beautiful. Yeah, I really like that. Thank you. I think that's a wonderful, really great message to put out to our audience. And I appreciate Absolutely. You sharing that.
Yeah. Thank you.
Great cool. advice.
So Adrian, how can people get in touch with you? How can they find you? How can they tap into all of the wonderful things that you're doing?
Sure. Well, I invite your audience to tune into the Get Well With Me podcast, especially if they're looking for hypnosis sessions. I'm a hypnotherapist. I like to drift off to sleep almost every night with hypnosis in my ear, and I tune into various different podcasts and have different recordings. But if you're looking for something, and specifically if someone is looking to achieve their healthy weight and maintain their healthy weight, to dissolve anxiety, to sleep better, to saturate their mind with the version of themselves that they really want to be while they drift off to sleep at night, then the Get Well With Me podcast is a great place to start. If they'd like to connect with me personally, work with me one-to-one, or my favorite way to connect would be if you would join my Wellness Wednesday. Right now, I'm running a promotion, 30 days free, easy, click with a cancel if you just want to grab the free sessions. It's so easy to cancel the membership. It's only $47 per month. It's called Wellness Wednesday. It's 1 p.m. Eastern every Wednesday. And all of this, including the video version of my podcast and everything, can be found at adriannehart.com. And I will go ahead and spell it because it can be tricky. It's A-D-R-I-A-N-N-E, heart, heart.com.
We will put the links in the show notes. Adrian Hart, thank you so, so much for joining us. I won't speak for both of us. I'm really, really pleased that you've given up the time to be here. I'm so pleased that we've connected today and previously, and really appreciate your support and look forward to continue connecting with you.
Oh, truly my pleasure. You are both a good time. I hope that we can do this again. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, thank Absolutely. You. Like I wanted to say thank you as well. I'm glad that Nicole suggested this. I was glad that she met you, and great conversation. Continued success on your end. And I look forward to the day that you and I get to actually meet.
Yes. Yes. I need to get out to Vegas.
Absolutely. HypnoThoughts is the place to be.
Yes, it is. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Take care, Adrian.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye now.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Hypnotic Healers Podcast. Don't forget to leave us a review and follow us on Facebook. You can also join our mailing list at hypnotichealers.com.